And what I'm going to talk about today in this message could easily be taken as legalism if you're living in religion. But if you're in a relationship with God, you'll understand why this is so important. And that's really looking at a principle that will change your life. And that principle is really looking at who's first in your life. You know, a week from today in the evening, we're going to Turkey. So, by the way, when I'm done today, I'll preach 13 times in 4 days. So if I'm not as peppy as I usually am, you know why, right? But I've been writing. All I've been doing is writing. And I've gotten a lot of emails from people about just in the two messages I preached on tithing and generosity. People have sent and said, you wouldn't believe what God did. I just started tithing and I had a miracle. And if you emailed me, thank you for the email. I'm not trying to be, I haven't been able to respond. I've read them, but haven't been able to craft an email back because of all the writing I'm doing. I will get to it though, just so you're aware of that. And we're going to Turkey, and I've been working on this last church, and it's interesting that I'm working on this church during this message. It's the Church of Ephesus. And he says, you are the model of the perfect church. But I got this against you. And he gives the greatest rebuke, one of the greatest rebukes. He says, you've left your first love. And he said, if you don't get this right, I'm going to remove my lampstand. Means I'm going to remove my name from you. Here's the problem. You won't even know I have. Boy, it's quiet in here. You know why I think it's quiet in here? I think we understand what he's saying. Christ and this message really goes to the point. He's either Lord of all or he isn't your Lord. He's either in the first chair of your life or he's not sitting in any chairs. And I'll explain that to you clearly as we go through this because he's God. Like, he can't just be in the house. He needs the master bedroom. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if, when we get this idea right, we'll understand it. Let me ask you this question. Would you rather go through the troubles of life with all things in order or out of order? I would rather do it in order because God does not bless things that are out of order. It's interesting. If you were to drive up to a gas pump that had a sign on it that says out of order. And you drive up and you read it. Oh, it's out of order. I'm glad I'm a Christian. You take your thing and you put it in your thing and someone comes up to you, a non-believer comes up to you and says, sir, I don't know that you said that saw the sign. Maybe you don't know how to read, but it says out of order, which means it doesn't work. And you say, oh no, I have faith. Faith in what? That's gonna work. It's out of order. Can we turn the lights on? Because apparently it's too quiet in here. Like, there we go. Okay, is that better? Now are you turned on? Because somebody's like you all sleeping in here. God, listen, God never blesses something that's out of order. We have to put it in order. We have to have things in order. Now, you're under grace. I get it. He's put you in order. But if your money's out of order, he ain't going to bless it. How many are glad he doesn't bless cancer? Right? So whatever is first in your finances after you have an increase is where your heart is. Where my treasure is, my heart follows. Right? Let me ask you this question. Do you worship a God that deserves and demands the best or one that deserves and accepts the leftovers of your life? Do you deserve a God worthy of your best or a God that's only worthy of your leftovers? Best, right? It's because he's amazing. Imagine with me, someone who you honor like this extremely well-known person that you honor more than any other person in the planet. Imagine that person. Are you with me? That person that you would never think would ever come to your house. There is no possible, they don't even know who you are. But one day that person's assistant calls you and says, you know what, we've heard about you and we'd like to come visit you. Could we come to your home for dinner on March 28th? And you're like just amazed that this person even knows who you are. And you're just like, wow, that's incredible. And that person says, we'll be there on the 28th. Would you mind making dinner? And you're like, yeah, for sure. Definitely. You put it on the calendar. And then when March 28th comes, you wake up in the morning, you go, oh, you know what? I think so-and-so's coming tonight. What are we going to give them? Well, you know, we have that chicken wild rice soup that you made 3 days ago. We could just warm it up and serve it to them. How many know that is not what you're doing? For the next 28 days, you're going to stress yourself to no end of what does he like and what does he want and how would he want it cooked and what kind of water does he like mineral water or tonic? Because we don't drink sodas. It's just waters. And like what you would, for 28 days, you'd stress yourself out. Why? Because you have such honor for them that you would go out of your way to go way beyond to show them how much you honor them. Am I right? Is there anyone more honorable in your life than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who sent his one and only son on the cross to die so you could have eternal life? There isn't anyone. You know, when I went to the Philippines, I was at North Central, and our basketball team went there on a missions trip, and we played a number of teams there. It doesn't matter. On Sunday, we preached at a church. All of us preached at different churches, and I would love to say I was just a powerful preacher. I wasn't. And they told you, when you go to the church, they're going to serve you dinner. You need to eat whatever they put in front of you because they have spent their entire week income to buy the food to feed you. First of all, I'm like, I'm a nobody. Like, I didn't see myself with honor. I didn't see myself with they had more honor of me than I had of me, right? I'm just some college student that's trying to figure it out, right? But when I got there, they had people who met me and they walked me in and they went up there and I'm sure the interpreter preached a different message than I did. It was so bad. Anyway, I preached and I preached on I think it was grace, and everybody came up for healing. So I think the interpreter preached for healing because that's all that I prayed for. And then they took me in and they sat me down in this place of honor and people served me and they gave me squid with the little like all the tentacles on the end. It was disgusting. And because they told me I did, I just went and I swallowed. And I then, you know, if you do this, the taste doesn't get in your tongue. You know, that's just a hint. If you go on a missions trip, you do that. And I just let it slide right in my belly, right? And they gave me the rest of this stuff. And they're like, oh, you like it? And they gave me more. And I was like, no, I'm full. I'm an aquarium in my belly right now. I mean, it's a little. All because some no-name American came to their little village and shared the gospel. They showed me honor. And yet the wealthiest nation in the world gets offended. Blessed by God gets offended when we say we should give God our first. And it isn't just first of our income. It's our first day. That's what Sunday is, our first day. Well, I'm going to use it how I want. It's the first fruit of our week. I'm giving it. When you show up, I'm here because of God. I'm not here because of the preaching, the worship, even the people in the community. I'm not here for any of that. I'm here to give him this day. God, how can I honor you in this day? It's in Ephesus, it was our first love. It's not my spouse. It's not my sports team. It's not my job. It's not my possessions. My first love is you. And I think the hard part in this is, and even while the creative team were going over this, I said the hardest part for me in this is do I understand? Am I so engrossed in my culture that I can even comprehend if he's sitting in my first chair? That's your pastor. I'm questioning my own allegiance and firstness of love? Is he sitting? Because I am living in a culture that is so consumed by loving themselves. Would I even know if I'm not like that, if I'm only a few feet away where everyone else is? I think it's a place we all have to come to ask ourselves, are you my first love? And I think in some ways we demonstrate that when we understand Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and everything else will be given as well. Like when you put him first, I think one step is you take that thing called mammon, you take that thing called the money. Like if I had more money, think of the things I could do. You wouldn't do them. Because you think money is the key that unlocks the future. It isn't. You don't need money to do what God's telling you to do. You just need to be obedient and God will take care of the rest. The test is every time you get paid or every time you have an increase or every time you get, what are you doing with the first? Do you agree with me that God deserves the best? Do you agree that God gave his best in his son, Jesus Christ, to you? Do you agree that God, through covenant, gave his first son? And do you agree God wants us to give our first to him? Yes. See, this principle of the first fruit is not just tithing, it's giving him the first tithe. And I want to take a look at that. In Exodus 13, 1 through 12, they're just coming out of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me every firstborn male, the first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether man or animal. Then it goes on in verse 12. And they're coming out of bondage, stepping into freedom. And he says, this is a principle that you weren't practicing in slavery, but I want you now to practice when you're in freedom. You are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb, of the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey. But if you do not redeem it, break its neck, redeem every firstborn among your sons. So essentially what he's saying is, if you don't give it back to God, you're going to lose it anyway. This is interesting. We're going through the Bible in a year, and I hope you're joining us on this journey. At noon on Wednesday, we kind of do a Q&A, and we talk about this. But the Levite tribe was set aside by God as, he said, this tribe belongs to me. And they will be the redemption of the firstborn of all the other tribes. That the males of the tribe of Levite will be the redemption of all the other firstborns of the tribe. So they exercised this principle among the firstborn sons, because some of you are thinking, does this mean that I need to bring my son? Yeah, we're going to have a slay your firstborn. That wouldn't go over very well, right? Some of you are like, what kind of church is this? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, and he said it here, your firstborn son would be redeemed with a lamb. Now look at this. The firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. I'll explain what it's talking about. A clean animal, which was a sheep, if a clean animal had a firstborn, you had to sacrifice the firstborn. So of a mother lamb, when they had the firstborn, when that womb was opened with the firstborn, they were to sacrifice the firstborn lamb. And all of the rest of the lambs would be clean and redeemed. Okay? But if a donkey was born, in order to redeem the donkey, you would have to take a clean animal of a lamb and redeem the donkey. So if a clean animal had a firstborn, you had to sacrifice the firstborn. If it was an unclean animal, you have to redeem it and sacrifice a clean animal. This is what I'm saying. Don't get lost in the weeds. This is what I'm saying. The clean lamb of God was sacrificed so the unclean human donkeys that were redeemed by his sacrifice. Somebody go, hee-haw. Hee-haw. So were you and I born spiritually clean or unclean? We were born unclean, right? Was Jesus born unclean or clean? Clean. You know, we do a podcast often. We listen to these guys. Alex brings in videos of absurd TikTok theology. And then we talk about it. And one of the things that constantly comes up is, why do bad things happen to good people? It constantly comes up. And the fact that, oh, we believed we're born a sinner. Well, how long did it take for you to realize you were a sinner? Like 2 or 3? I mean, so even if you weren't born a sinner, it doesn't take long to figure out that you've done things that weren't right. Would you agree? Right? How many parents in the room? You're like, amen. I mean, every day. There are bad things do not happen to good people because there are no good people. Jesus said, not even one. The greatest lie the enemy tells you is you're a good person, and you're not. You are a donkey, unclean. You needed a clean sheep that was sacrificed for you to make you a new creation. You see, the clean Jesus had to be sacrificed so that the unclean you and I could be clean. And this encounter, this Kairos retreat we went on, the covenant session is, you really need to go to the Kairos retreat. You can literally, while I'm teaching on covenant with the Lord, you can literally see weight come off people's minds when you realize that he exchanged his perfection for your brokenness. I think we say forgiveness of sins as though No, he took his perfection and he gave it to you. What an incredible gift. Do you know that God tithed to you? You think tithing isn't personal? God tithed to you. Jesus was God's tithe to you. He gave his firstborn son to you and tithed to you. And I know it takes faith to give your first. Are you all there today? Like, somebody say amen every once in a while, okay? Just so I know you're breathing, okay? God says, when your sheep have a lamb, give him the first one. God gave his first son for a people he didn't even know if they would accept it or not. While you were yet sinners, he gave his son because he loved you. What an incredible gift, right? That he would give that. It is not, listen to this, it is not the 10% that enables the blessing. It is the faith that enables the blessing. The faith that God's taking care of me. That you know, I am blessed because of you, and I'm coming to give to you. God gave Jesus first. While you were mocking him, spitting him, nailing on the cross, while you were sinning, God gave his son to you. No, if you look at Jericho, the Israelites are going in the promised land. They've spent 40 years in the wilderness, and they're going into the promised land now, and the first city they come to is Jericho, and God says to them, I want, Jericho belongs to me. It's mine. It belongs to me. And you say, well, it wasn't 10%. No, it was the first city. He said, I want the first. I want you to give me the first. This city, it belongs to me. So they come in and they enter Jericho and they give God the city. The first portion is the redemptive portion. When they gave him the city, he said, now the rest are ready for you to have because you gave me the first. Now the rest is you elevated and you glorified and you gave to me thankfully for what I'm going to do for you ahead of time. And now I'm going to bless you with the rest. You know, my son-in-laws, I said this last week, I did the standard things with my son-in-laws, and I'm going to bring it up again because I really believe in this. And I've had people call me and ask me what the four things were, and I'll be happy to tell you that on a phone call, not from the stage. But I did everything people did. I did a blood test and checked out their investments, talked to their teachers, examined their GPA, showed them my gun collection, investigated the grandparents, you know, all the normal things. No, but I did, truthfully, this is the truth. I talked to them about tithing. Because my daughters are the greatest gift I'd ever give another man. They really were. And I have 3 incredible son-in-laws. Could not have asked for better son-in-laws. But why would I give my daughter to a thief? especially a thief of God. This is such an important thing. Without getting into in detail, I've even had conversations in the past, and I've said to son-in-laws, because how many know when you're young, you're going, there's that, you don't have everything your parents did. Your expectation is to have everything your parents did. So you don't, there's hard. Like Heather and I went through, we didn't have anything for years when we first got married. We were living by faith. And I told him, you know, you tithe. And because you tithe, because you brought God and you've given him your first, God knows what you're going to need and he's going to provide for you. And this is the problem. Too many parents are stepping in the way of God. Too many parents are trying to do for their kids what God wants to perform for their kids. And so they don't see the blessing of what happens when they tithe and how God provides for them in incredible ways. And all the young people in the room are like, I wish you would stop. I'd like it when my parents give me all those. Because it isn't, I know, it's not easy to live by faith, but nothing grows you faster than when you do. Nothing grows you more than when you have to walk and you're between a rock and a hard place and you don't know how it's going to happen, and God shows up because you've been obedient to his word. You know, the first fruits must be offered. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Notice what it says. Honor the Lord with what? Your possessions. Put him first in it with the first fruits of all your increase. You give, you know, there are times I've had, see, living blessed, this is the great thing about living blessed, isn't so you can have more. I have had incredible opportunities where literally, there was one opportunity. There's nothing greater. When you're living blessed, there's nothing greater than this. I'm sitting in a bank, someone I know who is a friend of my daughter's, sitting right there. And the banker is talking to her about how she doesn't have enough money in her account to pay her insurance bill. And they have a relationship of some kind. And I'm overhearing it. And she goes to leave the place crying. And I got to go over and say, how much does she need? Transfer the money. You know what I'm telling you? That's when you're living blessed. You hear me? That's when you're living blessed. Why? Because a blessed life is a life that blesses. She didn't need to know about it. She had no idea. In fact, that was years ago. Nobody needed to know about it, but I walked away knowing I got to bless somebody. And I did tell her. I said, just tell her that God loves her and he knows what she's going through. I was in the right moment at the right time, ready to bless them. And I got to leave there with incredible joy. Why? Because God gave me the ability to bless them. Because I had been faithful to bring a tithe, and he's just poured into the barn so that I can keep pouring. How many want to live a life like that? If you're a believer in Christ, that's what he's calling us to. Exodus 23:19 says, the first of the first fruit of your hand, of your land, you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. The first, you bring it into the house of the Lord. You, by the way, you cannot give the tithe. when you get the increase, 10% of it is God's. It's a test. What are you going to do with what belongs to God in your tithe? Like when you find a wallet on the ground with $2,000 in it and a driver's license, you're in a test. Will you return the wallet with the money? Right? It's a test because you could return it and keep the money. Right? And that person would probably be ecstatic. Yeah, I lost $2,000, but hey, I got everything else. It's a test. See, Zach and Amy, a few weeks ago, I'll tell you a story, and I hope they don't mind. A few weeks ago, they took us to the airport, Heather and I, to the airport, dropped us off, and then they have two more kids now, and their car was in the shop. I said, hey, you can just use our car. And so they took our car, and we let them use it while we were out of town, and they drove it around, did all that stuff, and we're happy that they could do that. And it just picked us up when we were at the airport. So when we flew back in from Phoenix, we landed, and sure enough, Zach and Amy were there. They picked us up. We got into the car and we're driving home, and Zach, and just you could tell something was really there spiritually going on. And he said, "Pastor, we need to talk to you about something. The Lord has really been working on our heart that we should give you this car." I'm like, "He has, huh?" How many know you can't give something that isn't yours? You don't need to pray about it. You don't need to pray about whether or not you're going to give back something that isn't yours. It isn't yours. You know, it's interesting. You remember a few weeks ago when I gave out $100 to, on all the services I went around and did all. Do you know how many people have been, like, the Lord has told me, "Here's $100. The Lord told me to give you $100, you know. And I'm like, I just ended up giving it all away. I actually have been able to just bless. Like, I've given away more $100 bills than I did that Sunday because of people being moved to give $100 bills. I've been able to bless other people with it. Isn't that incredible? What do you think would happen if you started getting into the mindset of putting God first, saying, "God, I'm not here to just hoard stuff. I'm here to bless." Do you not think God would take care of you? Isn't it when the world is saying, "If you want more, you hoard"? In the kingdom of God, it says, "If you want to be blessed, you give it away." I've been able to have an opportunity to be at a number of deathbeds, and you say, "Oh, how sad." Actually, it's not sad at all. I mean, it's sad you're saying goodbye, but the incredible thing about it is you get to hear who that person really is when they're dying. You know, the one thing I've never had done at a deathbed or when we're getting to that place where we know that nobody's ever said, "You know, Pastor, can I just show you something?" And they go in and say, "Honey, go get my bank statements. Pastor, look how much money I have." Nobody cares about how much they've hoarded when they're ready to go into eternity. And yet, we spend most of our life trying to figure out ways, even taking advantage of people, to get more. Stop and think about that for a moment. Consider how we try to hoard resources out of fear that we'll never have enough when we claim to have a God who has more than enough. You know, Achan goes into Jericho. He's told this belongs to God. He doesn't think anyone's going to know about it. Not his family, anyone. And he takes stuff and he hides it. Like, why would you take stuff if you can't use it? But he goes in because there's this spirit operating in his life. It doesn't need to be logical. He takes stuff from Jericho. He hides it in his tent. And his entire family dies because he had taken what was cursed for man because it belonged to God. Now, you're saying, "Well, I don't know if I believe this first fruit thing, that firstborn thing. I don't know if I believe." Okay. Let me tell you another story. You know, have you ever heard of Cain and Abel? This is 2,500 years before the law. And Cain and Abel's parents were Adam and Eve, right? And we know there weren't anybody before them because they had no belly button. No other campus gets that. You know, I mean, they all sit there like, "What?" If you got to explain a joke, it ain't funny, right? Genesis 4:3-5 says this, "And in the process of time," that's extremely important, highlight why they both bring a tithe to God. "But Cain, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground of the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel's and his offering, but did not respect Cain and his offering." What is he talking about? They both tithe. Why would God not respect one? And God says to Cain, "You knew to do what was right and you didn't do it. Sin is crouching at your door right now because your heart was not to make me first." See, Abel was a rancher, and he brought his firstborn to God. Cain was a farmer, and he wouldn't bring his first fruit to God. Because in Abel's heart, God was first. In Cain's heart, he wasn't. God was the God of the leftovers in Cain's heart. In Abel's heart, he was the God of the first. And God said, it wasn't that God wouldn't accept it. It was that God couldn't accept it. God, there are some things God can't do. Did you know that? No, God can do everything, Pastor. I think you're a little messed up. No, there are some things he can't do. Number one, God can't change. God can't change. He's the same yesterday and forever. He cannot change. Number two, God can't think the way we think. He thinks beyond it. He knows the future from the past to the future, the beginning and the end. Do you know that God is not trying to figure out anything? That nothing has ever occurred to God. Do you know God had never said this? He's never said, do you know what I just thought of? God knows everything at the same time. God has never heard something and said, oh, myself. Isaiah says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As heavens are above the earth, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God, listen, cannot be second. If God is second in your life, if you've put him somewhere in your life and he's second in your life, he's not actually in your life. God will never sit in a second chair. He's never going to be your passenger. He's either driving the car or he's not in the car. He is a preeminent God. It's just, he can't be anything else but the best. Listen, I'm not trying to be offensive, and I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, and I'm not trying to make you angry and upset. I'm really not. But you got to understand that God can't be anything but preeminent in your life. It's just, it's who he is. And I'm begging with you to put aside your offense, even if you don't like what I'm saying, just please hear this good news. When God is first in your life, everything else is going to work out. Because when you put him first in your life, everything comes into order. Your marriage will start to fall into order because you'll begin to change because you made him first. Tithing is really one of the greatest tests to see who's first in your life. It really is. And it's not legalistic. You know, I give the first fruit. I pay all my bills at one time. In fact, Friday, I paid all my bills. And the first check I always wrote, it's the Minnesota District of the Assemblies of God, because I don't tithe to this church. I tithe to my pastor, who's over a whole bunch of pastors in Minnesota. And they do all kinds of things as a district in the Assemblies of God. So I tithe there because I don't have any control over what happens with my tithe. And I've said this before. If you're of this TikTok theology that I can't trust what the church is going to do with my money, you should find a church you can. You really should. I would rather you live in obedience to what God said than attend this church if you can't tithe. And the first check, you can look at my checkbook. The first check I write, checks are the piece of paper where you put the person's name and then write in the number and then write it out, right? You know why I like writing checks? I know there are people older than me that you really need to get into this digital world of paying your bills. You know why I like writing checks? Because when I do it, and I'm not kidding, and I'm not trying to over-spiritualize this, but I grew up poor. My parents had very little money. And I was working from the time I was a little kid, mowing lawns where the mower was up here. How many can relate with me? To make $5, to walk the mower 6 blocks down the road for $5 to go pick up the mower, to bring it back to the little Baptist church to mow the Baptist lawn, and then to walk it 4, 5, 6 blocks back, and then 6 home. Right? We didn't have anything. But one thing that my parents taught me, he says, son, always give God your first. As soon as I got it, 50 cents came out. I had four. And even though we never had much, we always had what we needed. And as the Lord has blessed us, and when we first got married, we didn't have a lot, but we gave our first. Because we were never going to give them leftovers. The reason I'm sharing this with you isn't because I need you to shine on me. That's not what I'm talking about. The reason I'm sharing this with you is because I know it works. It changes everything. And I want you to hear it. I want you to experience it. You know, the tithe must be first. Leviticus 27 says, and all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's, and it is holy to the Lord. This is the danger. If you're a person who struggles with religion, this will sound an awful lot like legalism. But if you're a person who has a relationship with Jesus Christ and the Father through Jesus Christ, you understand this. And the reason you understand it is because I already want to give them the best, because I love them. It's not out of legalistic approach. It's just that I recognize that everything I have in my life, my increase, everything I had, comes from Him. And when I do that, when I'm writing that out, I'm saying, this is literally, this is why I write it out, because I'm saying, God, I can pay my bills because You provided for me. That's literally, when I can't stress this enough. I'm not making it up. Like, when I write it out, I'm like, I get to do this because You provided for me. I'm without nothing because You provided for me. Thank You, Lord. It isn't a legalistic thing. It's a thing of great gratitude and thanksgiving. Say, God, thank You. You've never failed me. Has He failed you? The tithe must be first. Leviticus 27:30 says, and all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. God just doesn't accept leftovers. You know, in Exodus 13:14, there's a principle there. And it talks about how they came out of Egypt and now they tithe because of what God's provided them with. And I'll let you see it up there. I'm going to give you a modern day practical translation to this. There was a father who was a rancher, and his son went to college, got a business degree, an MBA. He came home and he was running his father's business when he noticed some things that the father wasn't doing. And because he wanted to have best practices, he went and set up a meeting with his father. And he said, Dad, I need to talk to you about some of the practices you've been doing on the ranch. I think you might have some blind spots. You're kind of killing the bottom line. And I think I can help you with that. And so they sit down and they said, Dad, you have this kind of quirky habit. You know, we're ranchers. And every time one of our sheep have a firstborn, or the first of that womb comes out, you have this nasty habit of, Dad, you kill it. And you're killing our profits. And last year you killed 75 lambs. And Dad, I think we can increase our profits if you just stop killing the animals. And the dad says, Son, I think now is the time we need to have a conversation. See, there was a day when we didn't have a ranch. In fact, we didn't even have our freedom. We were slaves. And God came and delivered us from the slavery we were in. And not only did He set us free from what we were bound in, He gave us freedom to pursue what we were created for. And now we have this ranch that provides for all of our needs and allows us to be a blessing to all of these people. Son, see, the reason I give the best of our lambs before they bear any other kids is because I want to thank God for the blessing He's put into my life. And so I bring Him the best of our herd to say thank You, Lord. That is the God that we worship. So the question I have that I asked before, and Pastor Zach's coming up here, our gratitude for the gift of salvation will impact our motivation. The question I have is this. This is the question I have that I asked before. When we come and we worship God, when we study the Bible, when we talk about God, when we put our faith in God, is the God we're putting our faith in a leftover God? Or is he our best God? Does he deserve your leftovers that take almost no faith to give in? Or does he deserve the first of everything I have, which is faith-filled? But we really know, we're fully persuaded, I don't need to work because he always takes care of me, right? Will you bow your heads?